So ended up with Voltage so that I could learn the process. And I wasn't even sure if the scar product was going to be the right thing. Enrolled through Voltage and decided that I was going to give a go with this product. Went through the entire curriculum and really focused on launching one product. Our focus has really been a good main core product for a little over a year now. And it's become really successful. I'm very excited about that.
Welcome to the High Voltage Business Builders Podcast, a show where we interview high voltage entrepreneurs growing and scaling through e-commerce, real estate, and other wealth without Wall Street ventures, showing you the path to making your first or next million. All right, folks, welcome back to the High Voltage Business Builders Podcast. Super excited for today's episode. If you want to understand from a first-person experience what it takes to build a sales channel starting on Amazon, build a brand, get it to $500,000 in sales, I brought somebody on here who's a member of our community who has gone through the process, battled professional changes, personal changes, growth changes. She's going to talk about all that today, and I'm super excited to have her here. I'm also going to add the disclaimer, like I always do on these kinds of podcasts, that while she is a client of Voltage and has worked with us, her story is her own. Her results are unique. Not everyone can do necessarily what she has done because she is a special unicorn. You're going to find that out today when you listen to her. And so with that disclaimer, whatever you hear today, of course, is her story alone. So as we get into this conversation, what I really want you to understand is that while she is such an amazing person and has done so many things that she's going to talk about in her life and experience today, you do have to realize, though, she had no e-commerce experience when she started this. So this is a big personal journey for her. And I want you to understand that as somebody who maybe doesn't have that experience and asked yourself, well, is this something I can do? Maybe that answer will come out of today's call. All right. So with that aside, Ashley, thanks for coming
on. For having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, it's an honor. So I'm just going to literally ask you a broad question, give you the mic and kind of let you go. What is your story and how did we end up here today?
Yeah, so I started my career in consulting, but then quickly I ended up getting married. My husband's a surgeon, and we started functioning what was a family business together, which was in plastic surgery. So I have about 15 years of running a surgical practice under my belt. And really how the idea for this product started was to try to provide a service to our patients. So we wanted to help them with scar healing. And silicone sheeting was one of those things that really was clinically proven and something that really gave a lot of results. And it was available over the counter. So we started with this idea that we were just going to provide it to our patients. And then it sort of evolved a little bit into, hey, this is a really great product. We should offer it out there. Now, that was, I think, over 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't get very far. Fortune's loved it. But we tried a little bit of Amazon selling. There was a little bit of uptake, but we also hired a vendor, but without any sort of experience in how to manage that person. It was sort of this like mystifying process where I didn't really know why I was getting the results I was getting or not getting. I wasn't sure if the person that was helping us do Amazon sales was doing a good job. And so it really didn't amount to much. Other things happened. I think that was pre-COVID. So I think COVID happened, which was a lot of thing in people's lives. The product paused for a little while. But I was still interested in it. And it was a good product, but I had no idea if it was a good product for e-commerce. It was a good product for our patients. It was a good product for people who had scars that they wanted to heal. So I really started thinking about how I could figure that out and be someone who understood what it took to sell online. And Amazon is the place now that you sell online. So that's how I came across Voltage. I'm trying to think of how I initially came across it. I think I might have started listening to podcasts, actually, like this, and trying to figure out, like, hey, if I want to do this, how am I going to do this? Because I don't want to just hire somebody and hope that they're good. I don't even know how to hire somebody. So ended up with Voltage so that I could learn the process. And I wasn't even sure if the scar product was going to be the right thing. And enrolled through Voltage and decided that I was going to give a go with this product. And went through the entire curriculum and really focused on launching one product. Right now, we are starting the process of expanding the line under the brand, but our focus has really been a good main core product for a little over a year now. And it's become really successful. I'm very excited about that because we think the product is very good.
Yes,
yeah. It is. And so, but it doesn't mean, just because you have a good product doesn't mean that it always sells, which is what I learned the first time around, is that you have to have additional knowledge. You have to know how to interact with the system. And really, Voltage gave me a way to have a structure around what I was doing and learn about the different aspects of e-commerce and selling. And that sort of is what has happened. We've started from managing it, me managing my pay-per-click myself. I don't do that anymore. I'm really focused now on product development. So I'm not the core person managing pay-per-click, but it was really helpful to learn how it was done because now I understand what I'm looking at when I'm looking at numbers. And also I'm more able to assess somebody else's competency, which was my problem before is like, I didn't know if it wasn't working because the person kind of stunk, or if it wasn't working because my product kind of stunk. And so it's really been helpful in that way. And now sort of the fun part of it is now we get to expand our consumer line out, which is what we're starting to do. And so like we're relaunching. And again, I'm going back to the things because it's been a while since I've learned my first concept. So I'm going back to the material before and saying like, oh, how do I do a listing and stuff like that?
Right. So. How did you balance all this between a political run for governor in 2022? You're also a mom of three. You have ran and helped to prep. How did you find the time to do all this?
Well, I have always been a hard worker. I also do expand my team as soon as I sort of feel competent and able to manage an area and the revenue supports it. I do bring on other team members. I have like a virtual assistant that has moved with me through different projects and different businesses. So I don't, it's a lot to balance, but I like being busy. Mm-hmm. And I choose the things now that I like to do. So it doesn't feel like work. So, you know, it's really just a matter of doing the things I want to do. Also, e-commerce does give you a level of flexibility that other things don't. So I can pick up my kids and drop them off in the morning, work on my products during the day. Or if it doesn't work for me because I'm busy with things, then I can do it at night. So that is the nice part about this business is that there's a level of flexibility because e-commerce doesn't really have business hours.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Right. And honestly, the business hours, if you're working with bringing products from overseas, the business hours are at night. So it's almost perfect for a mom because like that 9 o'clock when everybody's asleep is sort of like prime time in terms of being able to do business.
Do the things, talk to the people, get the
exactly. Products, yeah. It works for moms that work, moms that have kids, because that is the time that a lot of working moms start working again. Unfortunately, it is night after all of those responsibilities are done.
Well, if you change your perception of the model in terms of work versus fun, creativity, building something new, something that other people want, that sort of is, I think, what a lot of people miss in this, don't they? On their personal development side, like they take the work and take it too seriously as opposed to having some fun. And this business model is fun, in my opinion. And it sounds to me like you've had some fun with it too.
Yeah, I think because when you're offering products, and I think it's specific to products, there is a level of creativity and passion that needs to go into the product that you're creating. Yes, the numbers need to work. And I think also Voltage offers a model, even though mine doesn't fit perfectly because it's sort of a lower cost, higher volume thing. There are guardrails. But after that, the possibilities are infinite. So do something that you like. And then it's all about creative energy. And I think that's where people will do well in product is if they like creating things. And it's so wonderful to have an idea that you have or a design and you work with people to create this thing. And then it arrives in the mail one day and it's so cool. And you've been waiting forever.
When to touch it, right? When you see it and you get your hands on it and you're like, oh, this is real.
Yeah. And you start from the beginning designing, like, what is this product going to be? How is it going to be better than other competitors?
Yeah.
Then you go through the design process and you don't even have a box. And then you go through that whole thing. So having it all come together when you get sort of the first version of your product is really sort of a magical and cool experience. And that's where there are so many opportunities for people to sell things that they like that fit within the guardrails of what can be successful. And I think that that was what was really helpful with Voltage, is sort of understanding like what may work and what may be really hard. I mean, you can do the really hard path, but within the guardrails of sort of what is generally successful, how to differentiate your product and those business lessons, there are infinite possibilities. And that's where sort of the fun happens. So like, if you have an interest that you like,
yeah,
I would suggest that people or you're passionate about, like for us, it was, we really wanted to offer something that was useful to our patients so that they wouldn't use products that were ineffective. Like that's what happened a lot, is that people would use these scar products that were junk. Not only junk, it would actually be counterproductive. And so we had I was really passionate about providing a solution and then also making it less ugly. And I think that that's a differentiator in our product, is that we made it so that it's better because it fits multiple applications. So people don't have to buy a million different products depending on their needs, but it also feels sort of upscale and more, it's a medical device, but it's like a cosmeceutical sort of packaging. Whereas our competitors, just their packaging was ugly.
Yeah.
And that really, I felt, spoke to the quality and care that people put into their product. And I think that our packaging and our design speaks to the passion that we have for quality, which really does run from the beautiful packaging to how we make sure the product is safe, high quality, and all of that.
It really represents the brand ultimately when the product is representative of the quality and the outcome of the product, which is obviously very good. Innovating against the market is an important part of this lesson that you've learned, right?
Absolutely. Being able to find how you're going to compete and find that sort of area of differentiation is really important for our product.
Ready to escape your grind? We help entrepreneurs build real wealth with private label brands. Visit voltagedm.com to start now.
I have a specific type of product that I like. You know, also it's about focus, is that the fun part about it is that you generate a lot of ideas, especially if you go through the Voltage process. You have like a million products that you can do. So the temptation is to, once you have a little bit of success, to go to that next cool
jump
thing.
Jump out of your current core competency. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that has been a temptation of even mine, because I have a next brand that I really, really want to do. But I like really want to do it. I have two. And I am sticking to my goal, and my investment is in this brand first and growing it to a certain level before I move to the next cool thing. And I think that that has been really helpful, especially even saying, like, we are just branching out to different product offerings within our line, because everything that I've made, I've reinvested into, let's say, videos or different advertising, or we're going to be super aggressive in growth and I'm not going to care so much about maximum profitability. So that sort of focus on taking something that is successful and growing it has been really important. But I'm very excited about the other items and other sort of brands that we can do. But I think it has been an important lesson in terms of where we've become successful, because recently we were successful, but we've really started to take off now, and it takes a while till you get, you know, you're going to sort of grow and it'll be steady and consistent. And all of a sudden that slope will get pretty high and you're going to need the money to support that level of growth, which is what we're hitting now, is that we have a popular product that is growing in terms of units per day. And my biggest challenge is inventory, making sure that, because I don't want to send things via air. I've had to do that.
Overlapping inventory to keep out of stock.
Yes, I don't want to be out of stock. So I have to plan my inventory so I can do ocean shipping or, slow shipping. But that means that I have to keep an eye on it. And I have to pay attention to when my manufacturer, how long they take, what they say and what they do, which is usually, you know, they're about 30 to 40 days. And then I have ocean shipping. So I'm like a 2-month turnaround for products when you're growing very quickly. So we went from, I think we were from 40 units a day, and then we hopped up to 60. And then now we're over 100. Just recently went from 100 to 120. That's on a daily basis. So just trying to forecast and fit it within a timeline is very difficult. Add the cash flow thing on top of it, which is that I have to buy inventory more quickly now. Mm-hmm. And so that means that it's a more cash flow intensive process just as you make those jumps, right? Because what you have to do when you're all of a sudden you're selling, let's say you need 1,000 units a month, well, very quickly you're 5,000 units a month. That bridge to get that cash flow takes a little bit. So that's why focusing on one product and making sure that you have the money to support the growth is really important. And I'm glad that we did that. Otherwise, it would have been a lot more stressful and less fun. So we both were okay. I mean, now we're at 1 to 120. So I'm now watching it again going, oh, I'm going to need to change how I order again. Because
you're learning.
We can't do 5,000 units. So now it's going to cost me a lot more. But that's okay because we plan for it.
Well, and that's just that you're talking about cash flow and business management at this point, right? We've gone from the concept of product identification, innovation. We've moved into, okay, now growth is a realistic consideration as it continues to go and go. And now we're hitting points where certain vertical growth in the market is now occurring almost like a hockey stick.
Yep.
Which is requiring a cash flow, which we've talked about before on this podcast, as to what is the biggest challenge when a product becomes successful. And not that you can't find successful products, which I know you know now, to the point where you have to hold yourself back a little bit so you stay focused on the ones that you're currently working to expand your brand out even wider, which will achieve your results, I think. But it's that cash flow. Talk about a little bit more in terms of how you're planning and managing cash flow, what your kind of next needs are. But based on your current results, where do you see that taking you now in like your 90-day cash flow and forward?
Well, it's because we are hit. So instead of assessing it monthly, which I was doing before, I'm now weekly looking at our inventory levels, like our projections, and saying, do I need to change what I'm doing? So I started talking to my supplier and setting expectations in terms of like, we're going to be doing monthly orders of this amount. So I need you to queue up the inventory that you have so that you're not waiting for raw materials and delay me. So we started that conversation, which wasn't as big of a deal when we were lower volume. But as our volume increases, it is a thing. And I'm holding more cash on hand because like before I could invest more in other things, but I really don't know what the upper limit is going to be for this product. Now we are in a rapid growth thing. So at some point we're going to level up and then it'll be sort of operationally a little bit easier. So it's really having that weekly conversation.
Yeah.
So I just did 5,000 units. I just sent them off. I thought I'd be good for a few weeks. Tonight, I need to have another conversation about putting in another order. And that's over $10,000. So, you know, I'm not getting used to making those big orders instead of every month. Well, first it was every few months and then we pull products back.
There's a little pucker effect that occurs there. Like, oh man, like, holy cow, more inventory already.
It's like, you know, and that is the fun that is, it's a, wow, I'm making so much money. And then
it's
you're
a
like,
problem to have. It is a good problem to have, but it is an important one to understand for people who are here that we call it feeding the beast, right? Like, when that engine goes, when your vertical climb goes, it is now your opportunity to lose if you don't feed it the inventory required to see that growth curve become 40, 60, 80%, like we've seen. That's your opportunity to lose. And I think a lot of people believe that a limited amount of inventory or whatever can make this thing into a seven-figure business. But as you go through and learn how this goes and your aha moments kick in, like you're having right now, it's like, oh, I see my path to that and my risk level and my reward level. And it changes because it's a whole new level of risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like when things arrive, like I have a backup plan always now. So I had, in case I get it wrong, which could happen with the level of growth, is that I have planned for ocean shipping.
Yep.
And that is my default plan. But I hold back some inventory for air shipping just in case I mess it up, because I don't think I'll have it perfect always. Or what happens if something happens to one of my shipments? So I always have that as my default, is that now, because it took me a while to get into ocean. It didn't make a lot of sense because I really didn't know what I was doing, and air was just easier. And it made my forecasting a little simpler, but I do have that as my backup plan. But yeah, I really, my right now, my focus is making sure that I check and I'm watching it daily, of course, but on a weekly basis, I'm reassessing all my forecasting, which is 2-month forecasting, and saying, like, are my numbers correct? And what I'm finding is that the answer is no every week because we are growing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very exciting. Now, as we're growing, I do know we're going to level up. I just don't know when that's going to be. So I'm also still working on product development and extension within that line.
As you're getting to 10, 15 SKUs or more to lower your risk by opening the door across more product.
Exactly. And within this brand category. And so we have a plan for that. I have one product another product that just launched that is a little bit more specialized. So we're trying that out. And then, because our current product is universal fit, so mm-hmm. we're everything and everything. This one is very catered towards a specific, unique need. So this one is for, you know, the one that I just launched is for C-sections and tummy tucks. So catered towards the mom market, a very specific indication. We're testing out how that works, as opposed to our universal scar tape that fits on all the scars. Yeah. The other thing that was also very popular that we hadn't gotten into was a gel-based one, which the consumers tell me they want. And so we're going to do that. But again, our main product is doing well, but we still do need to develop those other products so that we are able to grow, because there is a limit to what one SKU can do.
You don't know where your AirPods are yet. You're borrowing from Apple. They have now become the top-selling product for all of Apple. And so you're not quite there yet, but you're going to find one of those niches is absolutely going to take a vertical climb within your brand. You just don't know it yet. Like, your hero SKUs haven't shown up yet. They're coming most likely. And I think a lot of people don't understand that yet, because they want their first product to be their hero product.
Right, right. And you need to also just mitigate risk in case something happens to the category. It isn't popular. That is why having other options in e-commerce, it's also about, you know, things that you want to do. Like, those are so fun for me, and they really are on the roadmap as soon as I can get this to be a more stable business. Because growth is wonderful, but it requires a lot, and you can't. It would take away from its potential if, let's say, I decided to do a whole other brand. And also depends on your capacity to do it.
You're closing in on $500,000 in sales, or you just did, if I'm not mistaken. And what that means is that the market is now just accepting you at a new level, where the next levels are going to move much faster. And we're only on one sales channel. So at this point, you're just now clipsing some 0.00%, 1% of the market share for health and beauty style products that also have a crossover to, you know, wound care. And so you haven't even really eclipsed both of those product type market yet, until you probably get between 1 million and 5 million in sales, at which point things are really going to turn over extremely fast. And this is one channel that can do it on. But we haven't talked about Shopify and TikTok yet, or other channels, even retail, which can open the door really well, because I haven't got you introduced to the retail side just yet, because this could be huge. But you need to focus and get your success in one area first before I start taking you to others. That's focus and importance, right? Cash flow plan.
I think that's something that with entrepreneurs, it's like so tempting to try to go everywhere.
They're trying to hit a home run on a different channel. They're thinking that time and patience where I'm at isn't going to produce the growth or the size or the hopium dreams I have for this business. So I need to now take my attention to another channel and see if that one will make that happen faster.
I feel it all the time.
All entrepreneurs do.
I should be in Sephora. I'm perfect, right?
Like, right. We did all that. I was like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's what hard charging entrepreneurs do. But we also have to remember to hold ourselves back just a little bit, run the numbers, run our opportunity, widen our brand line, and then it'll become very obvious when the time comes to do that. It isn't being held back. It's being focused. And that's a tough thing for entrepreneurs to focus.
It is. It's the balance. It's what makes somebody who's a great entrepreneur great, is because you just want to win everywhere and you want to
shoot everything. Like, like, we want to kill it all, right?
Yeah.
We can't, you know, do all of that just yet. But as you get closer to the million mark, you're going to find that certain components of the operations do stabilize, become a little easier, become a little bit more overarchingly managed, either through additional support or just your mind now starts to realize how this thing works quarter by quarter, at which point you're going to say, okay, I got some extra bandwidth. Now it's time to go to TikTok. And to start into the demand creation side of why this product versus another, and why we are better, and why, you know, thousands and thousands of customers on Amazon love us, take that authority over here to TikTok and follow that creation side and get a whole bunch of other people involved in it now.
Which is a little different, which is what's so fun about this, it's a whole different skill set that you get to learn and develop.
Yeah.
Which is, again, that's why it's such a fun, creative process. If you like continual learning, like business, nothing like business forces you to keep changing.
And it does, right? And so this is why I've got like Paul on TikTok and why it'll take you to Matt for Shopify and why I have resources you can use later. And I think a lot of people need to understand that about building community and relationship with the right people is that those can become leaps that are a lot easier than you trying to go out and figure out how to open a TikTok shop like on your own. Do you recommend people do this on their own?
No, I tried it. I mean, this was the way that we, you know, finding the right match and finding. So for me, it was Wilted, but then it becomes, I can go to you and say, where should I go? And instead of trying to do it myself or randomly finding people who are untested, I think that that also really makes a difference. And an investment and learning what you're doing and finding a good match for you is so valuable. Because you can do it like, it's not that people can't do it on their own. I mean, we were selling a little bit, but I don't know why we were successful, or I don't think this would have ever happened. Absolutely not. And so I think that it's really a matter of recognition of expertise and that it is a learning process, and your best referrals generally come from people that you've worked well with. So, but I do like that with Voltage, you know, and I've leveraged that community so that I de-risk some of the new relationships, because a lot of people have already tried things out and these are known quantities, which makes it the learning a bit easier, because it's just my learning, not trying to figure out, does this person know what they're doing, or just trying to figure it all out by yourself through, like, I don't know how, and we should just like Google it. It doesn't really work very well. You can do it.
There's a lot of time to do that. It took me a lot of time to do it a long time ago. And now that I've gotten past that point, I'm too impatient to try to go figure it out all on my own. I'm impatient, right?
And there's so much to learn if somebody can structure it for you.
Correct.
That there's already enough that it really does help your process and also getting you to those next level. But working with good people is really a huge differentiator, and not thinking that you can do it all by yourself.
You really
that
can't.
That is something that I realized in business is that, I mean, I can manage pay-per-click and I know how to now, but there are people who like it more. That's the thing. And somebody now who is managing it for Brandon. We talk about it. I monitor it. I know it, but he's jazzed about it and like is really into like getting the videos right. This is working. This is an A/B test or not. I can do it. It's not like my like favorite thing to do with my time. So that's the other part, is bringing on people. Once you have a base understanding of what it is, bringing on people that really love and are interested in those job functions, because there are enough things to do where, like, I love product development and design.
Finding the things you like to do and are good at, and not doing the things you don't necessarily like, you can do, but aren't best suited for it.
Exactly. I'd much rather design a better Scardell than anybody else has and make it beautiful than manage pay-per-click ads. That might not be the case for some people.
That's right. And everybody's got a little different skill. But you find that out in the process. You've discovered that in this process, that's where you're best suited as the lead, you know, role in the success of the business brand. And it's paying dividends because of that. You figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important part of the success story in my mind, is that you figure that out. Now, at the next levels of growth, as we challenge that and go forward, you know, capitalization is one of those things we can obviously help you with. We're working with a partnership that's done very well in a couple of businesses for us that I should introduce you to now, that you can get involved in for funding and capital inventory requirements too, because the next level up is, you know, 5,000, 10,000 units. Because when you start to feed that machine and it gets checked in, what you're going to find is that the sales will double. We're in triple.
Yeah, we were 5,000 a month. Now I think we're like 5,000 every 2 weeks. But that we went from 5,000 a month within a month to 5,000 every 2 weeks. So like it's.
So the hard part is for you to recognize that that could be 5,000 a day. It's just you have to accept that that's a reality. Not that the market is not there to accept it, because I know your product and I know the market. It's for you to realize that it's there. And what is it going to require for you to go get it?
Yes. Yeah. And I think we're hitting that point where it's like, wow, like the growth curve is happening, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
But there is a point in which I'm saying, like, when you start clicking that button, like, pay me sooner so you can.
It hurts. It feels bad. It's like, yeah, every time. It doesn't matter if it's a, if it's 100,000, 5,000, or a million, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And you feel that going out. But then we have to remember that's how we make our money. That this is an inventory-based business model. We buy our inventory at cost of goods plus shipping, et cetera, and we sell it at a profit. So there's the part where you just got to kind of get out of your head.
Right. And I'm coming from service. So this is different for me is that my entire career has been service-based and learning inventory management. I mean, we had inventory management kind of to do our services, but that's not what we were selling. And so you really, it's just a different sort of product. Like if I don't have the inventory, like I can't do anything about it.
What you could do is take inventory as a lead dog, which you're doing now, and then offer services behind it and do that component of service or education that ties to another revenue stream, which is an opportunity to stay focused in your brand, but continue to service the people who bought the product by helping them produce an outcome from it. Right.
Absolutely.
So those are opportunities next as the product business continues to grow and you're, you know, feeding that beast more inventory. You can look and say, well, how do I keep in front of these people? How do I put them on a subscription? How do I put them in a training? How do I give them more information? How do I provide services for them that back into either localized or remote based services to add additional profit to the bottom line with something you already do?
And that was a big part of our growth is that moving to the subscribe, we never use that, but our product, it's such a natural match because you need to use a product multiple times to get results because it's a long-term product. You use it for, you know, 6 months to a year.
That's right.
And as soon as we did subscribe and save, people and explained it, it really worked. It actually helped accelerate ourselves and get us on this trajectory.
And explain subscribe and save. I know people may know that in the Amazon sense, well, I'm, you know, I get stuff in subscribe and save. What does it mean on the business side for you?
It means that we have a locked-in customer that we don't have to pay for advertising and they don't forget about us and they don't end up leaving and then exploring again and then finding an alternative because we are their brand. We show up reliably to their door. And it really is, from our perspective, a really valuable thing. It's almost like we're getting, without worrying about keywords, without, you know, worrying about advertising, we have this customer that is ours that we don't need to, we still need to continue to provide a good product to them, but we don't need to fight for that space anymore. And it allows us to develop a brand loyalty that feels like a little bit hard on Amazon, but this actually is the way that you can do it.
Now, what does that look like in terms of like monthly recurring revenue, yearly recurring, and how does that new number sequence that you're managing to on the subscribe and save, how does that change the way you acquire customers and think about acquisitions on the front end?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'll have to look at the numbers because we just did this recently and we were just like, all of a sudden we had 60 subscribers. We didn't even know we had that many loyal customers.
Love it.
We had no idea. I would have to look at it now again because my numbers from last week don't even resemble my numbers this week. And it is really incredible. And it's an offer that I think that people should do. I mean, we were going to do it. It just, we weren't quite ready. And that's the thing about this is that it is a phased approach. It's you're learning so much and your product is developing and sort of maturing that there are different tools to use it at different times. But that made us far more profitable because we could see the profitability. Like, I don't know if those people were coming back and buying the same thing again. Now I know that there is a brand loyalty and then I know that I'm not paying. You know, they're not going in and clicking my hat again, like something doing that.
Or going off to some other brand. They're sticking with you.
Right.
And that continues to create that growth curve.
As soon as they go back, you have the potential. Like, it's almost like sending them back into a marketplace of your competitors every single time if you don't have something like that. Yeah. And if there's somebody who has some silly, not that I do it, but if they have a flash deal and then all of a sudden your loyal customer decides to cheat on you, you might block them. So that behavior because now it's not, now we're on the journey with them.
Yeah.
Like they're committed to 6 months to your journey and we just show up every month, our product to their door. They don't think about it. All they need to think about is healing their scar and being compliant and using our product as directed. They don't need to think like, oh, I ran out. And that's the other thing is that it does, it it will enhance our results because our results are based on compliance. So if I have a customer that doesn't run, and like I'm a mom, so I am that person who runs out of stuff and then I order it and wait, you know, in my area, I get stuff same day, which is great from Amazon, but I don't want consumers to run out of our product. They'll have a better experience if they always have it available and they're compliant.
Yeah, smart. And it's a good tactic that you went after that, because that creates that monthly recurring revenue as you continue to grow the business. And every month you can see that growing and staying there and continuing. And a lot of people are concerned about, you know, one-off sales and how can I reach enough people? And they also don't understand the scope and size of this, do they? Because there is a lot of people buying a lot of stuff all the time and they don't quite understand, I don't think, in their mind, how much that actually is going on. And that's one of the things as entrepreneurs, we have to kind of get out of our head and really think, okay, there's an abundance of a market here. There's a million people that could buy my product. And now I need to figure out how I'm going to go take those people on. And it's a different approach to just daily and weekly. It's now starting to think, you know, quarterly and yearly, how do I approach this business for growth and scale? Because you're still in the build phase. I mean, a lot of people are thinking, oh man, I'd love to have a $500,000 business a year. And I'm thinking that's amazing. And what a good start. So we're on a different
It's a huge market. So that's the cool thing about our market. And most that is also the thing about just generally in business and in e-commerce is that the options are unlimited. And what you said about having that abundance mind frame is so important in entrepreneurs, that there are always different opportunities that you can have. Focusing is a big thing, but we aren't even close, which it's hard for me to wrap my head around because like 5,000 units is like a lot.
I wait to see you get 5,000 units a week.
I know. And it's just because if you see that, like it's just a huge number of things.
Right.
But that's not even close. Like exactly 5,000 a week. I don't even know. That's not even a huge market share. So the idea of doing that is amazing for me. And the growth and the revenue is great, but we can go so much more to the point where like, it's fun to me when I can't even visualize what the number of products that I'm selling look like. Like, is it a garage? Is it
It's something that pushes you right into the idea is, well, now I'm at a container level of product. And you know, for people listening, while we have fun with the concepts of revenue and units move, which you just heard us do, it's important to understand there's profit. There's net profit, there's growing profit, you're enhancing your brand and your prices will start to come up. Your profit will be gained greater and greater as the market share goes until you will have a not only just greater market share, but you will have greater profitability. I think a lot of people have a tough time grasping that concept in the brand building. They think I need to sell more by lowering my prices. But what's the first thing we always tell you at Voltage? Raise your prices.
Right.
Raise your prices to enhance your brand, right? More profitability will come through that process. And that's a hard thing for people to grasp too.
Yeah. And especially just thinking of Amazon is that premium products and things that are trustworthy really now are things that people value and try, because you will never, in my opinion, it's very hard to win that price battle for low cost items. Unless you're going to buy a factory and do that whole thing.
Unless you're trying to hold on. Yeah.
Just go with you're competing against, if you're not having a premium brand, is you're competing against your supplier, which isn't ideal, but you're just never going to win that battle. And building a brand is about building something that is premium. And the effort that goes into that creative process is worth more. And I think entrepreneurs should, it's the price wars. You know, sometimes we do to get, like not price wars, but we'll lower, like I did coupons for a while. Mm-hmm. And we thought that was why we were growing. And then they ran out. These are all the learning things. We're like, I don't know what we did. I don't know what I did. Well, like I didn't look. This is when I was managing my paper cut myself. Right. I didn't look and I didn't realize for like a month that my coupons weren't running. And then we looked at the numbers and my sales hadn't changed. So we were like, you know, we actually don't. This is a good lesson. We don't need to why are we offering this coupon?
No, why are we discounting for things? You know, why? And it's usually because we have a concern that we're not going to sell enough to make the money that we expect. Well,
exactly. And they weren't they didn't even change my sales significantly. Right. So we just like never restarted them because we were like, why were we doing this?
Well, and the fear is if I raise my prices, the sales are going to go down. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. We just had an experience with this and we talked about it last week. We'll update people again next week, where we talked about how we raised the prices and literally sales doubled in 24 hours. But what we didn't tell people yet, and you should know this, is that the sales went down the next 2 days and now they're rocketing back up. There was a dance in the algorithm to reshift us into a different priority level.
okay.
for the products and market share where we raised our prices. So for a while, the market was like, yeah, we love this. And the algorithm's like, hey, they changed something. So it went and it kind of restructured things. And then all of a sudden, we're racing back up again. And higher price point.
That's where we're sort of uniquely positioned, where there are products that are like really, really high price, like $100 for the scar products that are hard. And then they're like I've competed against $9 products.
But those are that level down here where we know that we don't want to play in.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to launch that higher product you've already talked about, the one that you've considered, the $99 version, and find out where that fits into your market share with the top end competition, which now is brand to brand value, premium brand to brand value.
Right.
And doesn't basically get those people in the middle going, well, there's a $9 product. There's a 90. Well, the 99 must be the best one, but.
It's like the target principle. We go either at the different levels there, and we can
100%, right?
We can do that. So it's very
you just have to have the confidence to realize someone would buy it because its value is there.
That's how it works. When I go to Target, there's like the expensive thing, the not thing, and then there's the
you go through that same thing. Your customers, that psychological thing where you're battling the difference between, well, maybe this makes sense or this price point makes sense. The business owner and entrepreneur, if they have the value of the product that makes the market share understand that is it, you know, that value is worth my product, you're going to find out when you get it.
Right.
Then I should change what the market will address. Whatever the market will bear.
Right. And I've just lived with the idea that there are going to be very similar products that are at levels that I'm not going to compete with.
No. Well, you just said the Target thing. So there's a purse at Target for probably $10. There's probably a purse for $50, and I'm sure there's a $99 purse, right?
Okay. I'm betting on the middle is the biggest, and then we'll offer that premium product, but we'll find a way to differentiate it that also makes sense for the consumer. I'm always about value to the consumer. So I want to offer the best thing in that area that you just think, but these $9, I always think, why would you put that on your body?
It seems like it's so cheap, right? It's
that's
okay. You know, there's a market for everybody. Those are the tier one, tier two, tier three customers we've talked about, right?
Right.
Right. So we need tier two to tier three because tier one can be serviced by a different market we can't compete with. That's that mosh pit. And I think a lot of people who listen to these podcasts want to hope that's the possibility because they want to be able to deploy the capital they have.
Right.
That's the wrong way to think about this. When we think about it in terms of the business and growth, we need to deploy capital to what the market is willing to bear, not what we're willing to bear.
Yeah. And that is also that growth thing, which is that focusing on not expanding too quickly, doing it smart, in a smart way where you can maintain your growth is important because there's only so much capital that you have. And if I spread it between three brands, I have two brands I'm dying to launch. And they're within my framework. Everybody has a framework. Mine is barrier. So I like things that have some barrier to entry that is usually regulatory because that's where my strength is. And I do like sort of higher volume products. That's sort of like my sweet spot. It comes from working in, so our medical practice had operating rooms. They are highly regulated. And I was my kids call me the Karen person, unfortunately, but the rules person, right? I have teenagers, so of course they can't do that. Now I'm always the rules and how we're going to do things.
Right.
But that level of understanding regulation worked for our type of mix. So when I look at building a brand, it's how can I decrease the number of competitors, create a barrier to entry, and then is the market big enough for me to have this tremendous upside? And I think that entrepreneurs, everybody will have sort of their thing, whether it's a certain mix of a product. For me, if it's gated, I love it. But I do not love it if it's gated and it's includes electronics. Anything that can break, I'm out.
Well, we talk about that too, right? No electronics, no supplements. So don't go into markets that are highly competitive with breakables, customer support, or other problems that don't generate a higher workload at the operation level.
Exactly. And also I wouldn't say going into medical device. I did have experience with that. Mm-hmm. So my product is a 510K exempt product. Okay. And so there is a whole quality management system that goes into it. But that came from years of experience working not only in medical device, because I've done other medical device companies, but then also working in the OR. So having an idea because we were joint commission accredited. So quality management systems were kind of all part of it. And then also consulting. So that made sense to me. And that's really leveraging sort of my past experience to find products that I like. I like creating quality management systems and there's a lot of documentation. that natural advantage that I have in terms of the product that I like, it is helpful. And I think if you find, you know, a way or a sort of something that fits your frame, then you can also find products that are brand lines that work, even if they're different products.
Everybody's got a customer need, really, at the end of the day. And there's certain ones that you may relate to more from past and familiar experience that help you leverage, you know, thoughts or processes or dealings or medical or anything that's related to your past experience can be brought to the table. And that's if you have no experience in e-commerce, right? That's just something we talk about in terms of building condition and brand and product type and what you, you know, can discover in the process that you want to go sell that you know that there's a market for, right? There's
but the no electronics, all that stuff is so true because there's so much complexity that I can't even wrap my head around.
There is a lot of
wanting to add things that break.
Electronics and electric. Very different things. Trying to manage that quality, trying to manage
that safety. I mean, it is enough. I mean, what we do actually has, you know, we have testing, we have lock controls. We have a lot that goes with a medical device that is not necessarily common. But even in normal consumer products, you have to be aware of labeling requirements. You have to be aware of a bunch of different, you know, consumer sort of regulatory things. And so like, that's enough to start and you don't want to add, you know, making sure circuit boards or whatever.
And you get in the manufacturing complexity, customer support. We tend to lean on products that have a smaller, low complexity, high perceived value to the market and can be in, you know, not only just the need that already is established on these channels, but in the area by which we can bring anything to the table that we have experience, knowledge, connection wise that helps support that.
And those are the guardrails that I think are really important. You start, you don't really know it. But like now that I'm in the middle of it, I'm like, oh my goodness, imagine having that on top of what we're already doing. So that's where having that knowledge taught to you rather than learning it the hard way or making the wrong choice. And then you're managing consumer complaints or like, I don't know, problems with your products that aren't safe. Like that is the value and sort of the structure that Voltage provides in giving you guardrails in the beginning when you're making those choices, because the choices are infinite. Even within sort of the system that's given, you'll have so many choices. You'll be, I mean, be kind of where I am, where I like have two other brands and I'm just dying to do. I already have the logo. I'm super excited about it, but I can't do it yet because my primary commitment is to grow this one brand that I have committed to being successful with.
That confidence we're talking about, though, that confidence that you not just know that you can do those other ones and be excited about it, but it's the confidence in knowing that I'm going to focus on what's winning.
Yep.
Because that is that's the smartest opportunity right now, the low-hanging fruit. But you now realize things you didn't know before. There's a lot more that you can do than people think is possible.
Absolutely.
And that's an amazing part of your story. So I have a personal question. Did you ever think about giving up at some point?
With this product?
Or the business?
I did before with Voltage. Like that was kind of going to be it. It was either I was going to find a way to figure this out or the product was just going to like, I wouldn't even bother with our patients because like it was just a headache and why. During this launch part, I think there were a few frustrating points. I think a little bit. I don't think I ever really give up. It's sort of a personality thing. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of like, why am I doing this? Because there was a point where it was successful and kind of profitable. And I don't know if everybody hits it. Like I was making money, but it wasn't like enough to be worth the effort. And I kind of hit this like plateau of like, do I want to do this? Like, what if I'm staying at 30 or 40 units? Like, it's kind of more of a hassle than it is worth what I want to do. So there was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Instead of giving up, I just got more help and said, like, I'm not happy where I am. And I got reassurance. Like, I think Lennon showed me this, like, graph of, like, the year's where, just to remind me where I was in sort of the product life cycle. So that helped me realize that like I didn't have a just mediocre product and this was like a waste of my time. I needed to do a few things differently. And I also needed to be a little bit more patient. And I think we came up with a plan and then it got better. And I was more invested. And then it's just kept on getting better. And now it's taking up a lot more of my time as we're in this growth cycle. And I'm very happy that I didn't accept, like, I either was going to be like, I kind of put it to the side as like a side non-priority project or like not really do it. So I didn't think about quitting, but I thought of deprioritizing in my life. And I'm really glad that I didn't do that, because now I'm seeing a really cool part of what this product life cycle is. I'm seeing the other side of the graph that I wasn't sure I'd ever get to.
Right.
And I'm not even, like, it keeps on going up. So I hope I'm at the point where I'm getting to close even more vertical growth. I'm a little scared of what inventory will look like, but
Well, we will be standing right next to you, so don't worry.
Well, thank you. I'll need that. It's going to be, you know, it is really shocking to have all of a sudden your inventory needs move from like a few months at a time, you need this number of units, to months, to every 2 weeks. And like, it does happen at an accelerating rate. Yeah. So that's where we are now, which is cool and terrifying at the same time.
Right. Well, and it's a terrifying coolness that you obviously accept, you embrace, and you feel the fear and do it anyways, which is an important part of any business journey for anybody listening to this. So I guess my final question to you is, if somebody was listening to this today and you were to speak to them about the business, the process, the opportunity, whatever it is, from your own words, what would you say to them?
You know, there's nothing better than having your own business and being able to express sort of your creativity in creating a product. So I think that sticking with the process and the ups and downs in the process and accepting it is important, but there's nothing more of a sort of an expression of sort of living and being an entrepreneur than going through this cycle of building a business. And this really offers the opportunity for you to do it again and again. And I really can't think of a better thing for my family because it's flexible, a better thing for my mind because I constantly have to adapt and learn. And also it's so fulfilling because the things that I offer, I think that people need, and they're really things that I'm proud of.
Yeah. Well, and that is amazing. And I'm proud of you, and I'm glad that you're here. And I am genuinely grateful for the effort that you put in to this point, because your results fall squarely on your willingness to do the work, which you've done, which is amazing. So kudos to you for that. And, you know, I couldn't be happier.
Thank you. But the support has been invaluable. And it took me from not being able to do it to having the ability, like this, the program really has made this possible for us. And also the mentorship has been incredible. And that for me is the differentiator. And if I didn't have it, I wouldn't have this product. And I don't even think I would have a path to the things that I'm very excited about. So I really do appreciate your support and mentorship through the process.
Absolutely. Well, it's wonderful to have you. Can't wait to see what happens next, because we're going to we'll be back on the podcast here sometime in the future to talk about your 7-figure growth.
That'd be amazing.
It's just time, right? We're on a path now. And there's some other things we can share off of the conversation that I think are right for you at this point to talk about based on our update today. And just, you know, grateful for you being here and for everybody listening. You know, check out the story, can listen to this again, and if necessary, share it with somebody in your life who might need to understand the things that Ashley has talked about today, because it's very important for you to get that there are personal and professional and business related things that she spoke about today, which are all key indicators of her success. And frankly, anybody who's listening to this can adapt, grow, and build into those levels of success, even if you don't feel like it right now. And that's an important lesson from Ashley today. I think I took away, hopefully you did too. So I want to thank you for coming on and for sharing that. Thank you so much. Guys, like, comment, share, engage with this. You can leave snide remarks. We don't care. It just helps the algorithm. And as always, continue to listen to what we have to say on the podcast and get out there and do something imperfectly so that something perfect happens along the way. Catch you guys on the next episode. Take care. Ask you this. If you're serious about building an e-commerce business starting on Amazon FBA, what if myself and my team worked with you one-on-one to execute the steps outlined in the podcast while helping you discover what the heck to sell, how to make sure it's profitable, and how to successfully launch a brand, plus how to do it under a consulting plus performance-driven model where I put a $10,000 skin in the game guarantee for those that show up and are serious about building a real business done with us? If yes, text keyword profit to +1-417-413-4209. That's 1-417-413-4209. And I will personally respond with a few simple questions. If you're not in the US or Canada, please visit voltagedm.com. That's voltagedm.com. Click get started and book a no pressure discovery call with me or a member of my team to learn more about the Business Builders one-on-one coaching and mentoring
for CEOs, entrepreneurs, and those looking to build an empire or retire using the power of e-commerce. Once again, thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode of the High Voltage Business Builders Podcast.